this this precious opportunity and privilege that God's given us to be here in His house. It's good to see each one of you. We're very thankful for the prayer that has been offered by our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love Him very much. We would ask that each one of you would pray for us during this time that we would stand before you this morning. If I have neglected to shake your hand and welcome you here at the church, I'd ask you to please forgive me, and if you'll give me time at the end of the service, I'll put forth every effort to make sure you know how much I appreciate your presence. You have your hymn book that's there in front of you, and beginning this morning, I'd like for us to look at a hymn in our hymn book. It's number 63, and my mind was stirred concerning this hymn this weekend, and as I meditate upon it, I felt that that God give us grace concerning our mind being stirred to verses of Scripture in the New Testament. And this number 63, the title of this is Down at the Feet of Jesus. The words of this hymn read, "Down at the feet of Jesus, I go in humble prayer, seeking a broken spirit to find a comfort there. Though I am just a sinner, my Savior loves me so. He hears my heartfelt yearnings while I am bowed so low." Verse 2 says, "While thus in sweet communion, I'll tell Him what I feel, tell Him that I believe Him and that His love is real. I'll thank Him for His favors to such a wretch as I, then ask that He stay near me and hear my every cry. Jesus, the friend of sinners, knows that I'm kneeling there. He'll look upon my pleading. He'll take me in His care. So let me feel His presence and rise to follow on straight in the steps of Jesus until my day is gone." I love those words, don't you? Down at the feet of Jesus. Now turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. We're also going to look at a verse or two in John chapter 11 and the Gospel of John chapter 12. As we consider a precious sister that's in the New Testament that is found three times at the feet of Jesus. And I'd pray the Holy Spirit would bless us to expound and to gather the information concerning these three events, that we, the children of God, would be blessed and encouraged as we face the trials and tribulations of this present world. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 38, by inspiration of Spirit, Luke writes, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he," that's Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know, brothers and sisters, God loves all of His children. God loved His children before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful to declare unto you the truth of Scripture. God's love for His children never changes. That's something that has comforted me and all my failures and shortcomings of God's glory in my life, that God loved me. Just that assurance. God loved me before the world began, and in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, none of those things could change God's love for me. And in Him, we are all more than conquerors. More than conquerors means when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any Band-Aids and methylate on our knees and elbows from getting skint from all the troubles and trials of this life. But the Bible teaches us in John chapter 11 that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. What does that mean? That means that those three individuals were loved more by God. No, it does not. It means that those three individuals that were loved by God, the same as he loved all of his children, got to experience God's love in a better way by fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's got children all over the world. God's got children in every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 tells us that fact. But not every child of God gets to experience the love of God the way you are experiencing that this morning in the kingdom of God, the New Testament church, having fellowship with him in his word and in his truth. Now, this morning, can we understand what a precious blessing it is for us to be here in the house of God, to be here in fellowship with the Lord, experiencing that love? Mary was one that got to experience the love of God more so than other children of God on earth during the time that Jesus walked here below. The eternal Son of God that has been and always will be from eternity past to eternity future took upon himself perfect humanity, was born of a virgin, and walked here in this world. And there were many children of God that belonged to him that he died for on the cross that were on this planet when he walked. But there was a few that got to fellowship with him in a precious and intimate way, and Mary was one of those children of God. Down at the feet of Jesus, she believed the Lord. She had confidence in the Lord, and she trusted the Lord, and she understood the importance of just being at his feet and all the blessings that could be enjoyed by children, by a child of God just being close to him. Here in Luke chapter 10, we find her at the feet of Jesus. It was there in Martha's house. She's at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. You know what she's doing? She's taking advantage of a precious opportunity to learn something from the Lord. Isn't it a precious place to come to the feet of Jesus? To learn at his feet? You know, there's many ways we can do that here in this world. You know, Martha, she was cumbered about with much serving, and she told Jesus, she said, "Carest not that my sister just left me here alone to serve?" Did you notice Jesus didn't tell her it was wrong to do what she was doing? He just told her there was something more important that she could be doing at that present time, and that was being at his feet and enjoying a good part that could not be taken away from Mary. You know, brothers and sisters, we can learn at the feet of Jesus by just opening our Bibles and just reading and asking him to give us light and give us help and understanding concerning what we read. You know, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read your Bible and thought, "I wonder what that means"? And then maybe at a later time you'd read it and it just all come to light when God would help you. The Holy Spirit would shine the light on it, and just like the lampstand in the sanctuary would shine light on the bread that was on that table, God would shine light on this bread, the Word of God, and it all come to you and say, "I understand exactly what that means now." You know, I've talked to people about the Bible that I didn't think had an understanding in the Bible, and I thought, you know, they need the light of the Holy Spirit. If they'd read the Word of God more, they may understand it more, and if they read it more and got more help from the Holy Spirit, they may have more comfort and peace here in their life. We can also sit at the feet of Jesus at church. Now, I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Lord. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. But the Lord uses the gospel preacher to give edification to the minds of the children of God. And we can come to the house of God, and when the Lord blesses the gospel to be preached, we're at the feet of Jesus learning from him. You know, it's important that we be little learners in the kingdom of God. You know, there's no big educated learners in the kingdom of God. No, we're all just little learners. None of us know it all. None of us will know it all here in this life. Thank God I'm looking forward to a day that I'm going to know a whole lot more. But you know, even when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be bored. You'll never get bored in heaven. There's nobody in heaven that says, "You know, I just got to know it all and I'm bored." No, no one in heaven is bored. And here in this life, I'm able to grow in that knowledge of the truth and looking forward to that glorious day that I will be with the Lord and be satisfied forever and ever and ever. Here we find Mary. She's at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. You know, she's learning from the Lord. You know, Martha said, "You don't care that my sister, she's left me to serve alone." Jesus said, you know, you're careful and cumbered about many things, but, you know, Mary's chosen a good part that cannot be taken away from her. You know, the Lord didn't tell Martha she was wrong for serving. You know, there's a lot of things in this world it's not wrong to do. There's a lot that we could be doing all this week, and it's not wrong to do it. But we should keep in mind there's times that we should give to the Lord and times we should keep in our on our schedule as priority. You know, there's things that are not wrong to do, but we could do it at the wrong time. See, Martha was not taking advantage of an opportunity that Mary took advantage of. You know how long the Lord was going to be teaching? 3.5 years. You can go back in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel and you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught for 3.5 years. He started his ministry and taught for 3.5 years. He preached and taught, and you've got this precious little child of God that took advantage of that. She understood there'd be a lot more time for me to do all this serving, but here at this time, I need to be at the feet of Jesus learning from him. I want to give you an illustration of this. Many years ago, my dad, Elder Marvin Loudermilk, pastored a church there in Georgia. And there was a brother in the church. He's a good brother. I love him. He's still alive. I love him now. I mean, he's fine and dandy like peppermint candy, as Andy Griffith would say. Fine brother. One Sunday morning, we all came to church, and he wasn't there, and everybody missed him. You know, where are you at? Well, my daddy called him that week, and what had happened, he got up that morning, he was burdened, he visited some nursing facilities all day that day instead of coming to the house of God. And he told my dad, he said, you know, Brother Marvin, it's important that we visit these nursing facilities. We go there and spend time with these people because they're children of God and they need our help. You know what my daddy said? My daddy said, amen, I agree with you. We need to be visiting these brothers and sisters in the nursing facility. We need to be doing all that we can to comfort and help them. But we can do that any time during the week. On Sunday morning, we have a specific time that we should be at the house of God, at the feet of Jesus, learning from him. And we don't have that opportunity on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, but we got that time on Sunday morning. So Daddy told him, he says, it's not wrong for you to do that, but maybe you just did it at the wrong time. Martha, what she was doing was not wrong. She was just doing it at the wrong time. And you know what Mary got? Mary got something that Martha was not getting, and that's being at the feet of Jesus at the right time and learning from him that she could grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And Mary needed that. You know, dear children of God, we need to spend time at the feet of Jesus learning from him even before we go out into service for him out in the world. You know, my dad used to say this about young preachers. It's important for a young preacher, and by the way, I used to be a young preacher. I'm not a young preacher anymore. I used to be a young preacher. My dad said it's good for a young preacher to be under the feet of Jesus and under a good pastor for at least 3 years before he considered going out and trying to pastor other churches. My daddy believed that. Now, that's not always the case, and that doesn't always have to be the law. But I tell you this much, a young preacher needs to be under a good pastor, a good father in the ministry, that he can learn. You know why? Young preachers are always like a wasp. They're the biggest when they're first hatched. Young preachers, when they're first hatched, they're real big in their mind, but as they get older, they find out how little they know. And it's important that a young preacher be under to learn before he go out in the churches and begin to serve. Apparently the Lord taught that because he kept the apostles with him 3.5 years, right? He taught them 3.5 years and kept them close. He'd send them out, they'd come back. He'd send them out, they'd come back. And even the Apostle Paul, you remember in Galatians chapter 1, God took him over in Damascus and kept him there for 3 years before he went forward and did all his journeyings preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will assure you, dear children of God, we all have a service in the kingdom of God, things we can do, but it's important that we're at the feet of Jesus, learning from him and knowing more about him, that we would have a foundation for our service. Have you ever noticed every letter you read the New Testament church to the New Testament church, every letter of the Apostle Paul, every letter of John, every letter of Peter, they will always lay a foundation of those things in the Lord before they begin to exhort you to do things in his service. If you ever notice there in 1 John chapter 4, there in verse 10, when John writes, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is what love is about. You want to know what true love is? Look at the cross of Calvary and find out what the Lord done for you. And then the next verse, if God hath so loved us, we ought to also love one another. You know, here in this world, sometimes we're all difficult to love. We're not always easy to love. Sometimes we're difficult to love. But that verse tells us we should love one another and show that love to one another. Well, Brother Ronnie, what's the foundation? We need to be at the feet of Jesus to learn more about what he's done for us. We are unlovable in our natural state, and God loved us anyway and died for us on the cross, being dead in sins. The Lord loved us, and he gave his son for us. So when I think about that love, that God loved me enough when I am a wretch in sin, that he would give his precious son in my room and stand on the cross of Calvary, that I have a home in heaven, wow, that motivates me that I can love my brother and sister in this world no problem. Same way with forgiveness. We think about forgiving one another and how we should forgive one another of trespasses. You know, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When I'm at the feet of Jesus and I learn about that forgiveness that I have in him, after all the wrongs I've done to God, brothers and sisters, we have wronged God. All of us have wronged God. Let that sink deep in your heart. We should be convicted. We have wronged God. We have not done those things we should do, and we've done things that we shouldn't do. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, before the eternal seat, the only seat that matters concerning heaven above, we have been forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of that, that God hath forgiven me of that much, 10,000 talents when I had nothing to pay, it is nothing for me to forgive my brother and my sister here in this life for just 100 pence. Nothing. But see, I have to have that foundation. I get that foundation by being at the feet of Jesus. I will assure you, Mary, after she spent time with Jesus at his feet learning, wow, I bet she was a good servant of God in the New Testament church. And I will assure you, when you find people that love one another, that are forgiving of one another, that are kind to one another, you'll find people that are spending time at the feet of Jesus in his word and in the gospel and meditation and prayer, spending time with him to learn more about him. And the more we learn about him, the better servants we are in his kingdom. But this is not the only time we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. Turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 11. In the Gospel of John chapter 11, Lazarus, he's dead. Lazarus was a friend of the Lord. Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. And he died. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, he hurt because his friend died. And he saw the hurt that was in the hearts of these two sisters because their brother died. And Jesus cared. You know, we got the hymn in our hymn books, does Jesus care? Brothers and sisters, Jesus cares. He cares about his little children. I'm going to tell you how much Jesus cares about you. He knows every hair that's on your head right now. That's how much he cares about you. Have you ever had anyone that kept up with you like that? Have you ever heard of a mama that could keep up with every hair that's on their children's head? I mean, the best mama you could think of, I think it's mine. My mama loves me. She keeps up with me. She called me this morning. You know, if I forget to call mama for a little while, she'll call me. She'll check on me to make sure I'm all right. And she prays for me. But I doubt my mama ever knew every hair that I had on my head. What about the Lord loving his little children that much? He knows every hair that's on your head right now. According to Psalms chapter 56 and verse 8, the Lord knows every tear that's ever went down your cheek. If you had any tears go down your cheeks because of the sadness and sorrows of this world, that happened. You ever cried because of the pains and the troubles of this world? Have you ever been able to count all your tears? How about as a mama or a daddy, have you saw your little children crying and you go wipe the tears off their face because it hurts you to see a tear going down their cheek? But are you able to keep up with every tear that's went down your child's cheek? The Lord knows every tear that's went down your cheek. Brother Steve, every tear that's went down your cheek because of the pain that Brother Scott has caused you, God knows all those tears. Brother Scott, amen that. I saw it. Every tear that's ever went down your cheek, God knows. He knows that pain. He knows every step that you've ever taken. In the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 16, God knows every step you've taken. How many of you have bought one of those little garments or something that keeps up with your steps? And at the end of the day, you say, wow, I didn't know I walked that many steps. You know, God knows how many steps you've taken in your entire life. That's how much you mean to him. According to Isaiah chapter 41, God holds the hands of his little children. God's not far away. He's very present. He cares about you. And when Mary and Martha, when they were hurting because their brother had passed, oh, they were mourning. And brothers and sisters, mourning is an emotion that we have. And it's not wrong to mourn. You know, when your family member passes to go home to be with the Lord, friend passes to go home to be with the Lord, we mourn and we're sad. That's just not a sinful emotion. That's a godly emotion. The mourners go about the street and we're sad. Sometimes we get sad just thinking about people passing in this life. You know, my mama, she used to tell me, she said, I've always prayed that God would take me to heaven before my children would go to heaven because I don't think I could bear the mourning and pain of going to the funeral service of my children. You know, my heart sometimes mourns and I think about my mama passing, going to heaven, me not having her there to call, you know, during the week. But if we go on in this life and the Lord didn't come back, it will happen. She or I, one, will pass and be with the Lord. And I'm thankful the Lord cares about those pains that we have. And here in John chapter 11, Martha and Mary both, their heart is hurting. They're down. Their brother has passed. And notice in verse 32 of John chapter 11, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's true. No one ever died in Jesus' presence. No one's going to die in his presence in heaven. You know, I love that hymn, that land will never grow old. You know, all this hair color stuff that's in this world, they're going to be out of business when Jesus comes back. We'll be in that land where we'll never grow old. There is no dying in heaven because we'll be there in the presence of the source of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very God of eternity. But Lazarus is dead and Mary's hurting. You know, Jesus, he had sympathy for Mary. He saw her pain. He had sympathy for him. You know, in this world, sympathy is hard to find. But he had more than just sympathy. He had empathy for her. He felt the pain that she felt. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus not only has sympathy for you, dear children of God, when you hurt, he has empathy because he feels that pain that you feel. Can you understand this morning how tightly connected and interwoven you are with Jesus? You're so woven with him, that pain you feel, he feels that pain. And the Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember back in the day going to church services and the preacher would say, hey, boys, y'all got a Bible verse you can quote? And everybody would say, Jesus wept. And I remember I was with a crowd of boys one day when I was just a young teenager. Way back when, a preacher walked up and said, you got a verse you can quote for me? And one of the boys says, Jesus wept. And then the question came, but why did he weep? You know, three times in the New Testament we find Jesus weeping. I preached many years ago on the tears of Jesus in the New Testament. It's always good to ask, why did he weep? He wept. You know, he wept right here because people, they wouldn't believe in him. There's people that didn't believe the Lord that were there that day. And it grieved the Lord's heart. And our unbelief and sin, it grieves God's heart. He wept this day because his friend had died. He loved Lazarus. I think he wept for Lazarus too. You know, Lazarus, where is Lazarus now? In verse 35, Lazarus' soul and spirit's in heaven. Don't you know if you could ask Lazarus, what do you want to do? I bet he had said, I just want to stay right here. I'm happy. I'm in glory. His soul and spirit was there, and his body was there in front of them in that tomb. But no, his soul and spirit was in heaven. Jesus wept because he's going to call Lazarus back to this earth and put him right back in that body. You know, it's amazing that Lazarus, even though if you'd asked him, he'd have stayed right there. He had to be subject to the power of God. And that's what we all are. We're all subject to the authority and power of a sovereign God. Jesus also wept. He wept for Mary and Martha. And here's Mary at his feet coming to the Lord. You know what the Lord did? He comforted her. And isn't it a precious place to be able to come, not just to learn, but to come to the feet of Jesus and find comfort in all of our times of need. When we need comfort, I want to tell you, there's no better person to comfort you than the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're sick, there is no better medicine than the true balm of Gilead, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always got the right thing to say. He's always got the right touch in his hand to touch us. And the Lord can comfort us when nothing in this world will comfort you. He is the one we can come to and find rest. And he's the one we can come to and abide with. And he'll give us rest and teach us to have more rest and comfort in our lives. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 1:3. The Bible said he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. How about that? He is the author of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort that's able to comfort us. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, anytime you're hurting in your heart because of the pains of this world, whether it be because of your own faults, whether it be because of the conviction of your faults, whether it be because you're feeling some trouble because of the things in this world, whether it be someone you very love very much is passing this life, whether it be something you're going through in this life, whether it be sickness, infirmities, whatever, there's no better place to come than right to the feet of Jesus and get comfort from him. And I've noticed this every time I have trouble, I can go to God's word and God will give me something every time to comfort my heart and pick me up from the mully grubs and set me back on a mountain. Jesus. How about it, brothers and sisters? Do you believe it? I believe it. Jesus can comfort us. You know, I believe that. That's the reason when I preach a funeral for a family about a brother or sister's passing this life, I want to preach about Jesus. And I spend less time talking about the person, more time about Jesus, because Jesus is the one that gives us that comfort. You know, we go to the 1 Thessalonians 4, we find the Apostle Paul gives us this information about the resurrection of the last day, the last verse of that, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And how is comforting at a funeral service when you hear it preach the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is a temporary separation, that one day we're all going to be together in heaven without the loss of one. Why? Because Jesus did not come into this world to lose, but he came into this world and he saved all of his people from all of their sins. And he's not going to give up one of his little sheep. He'll have them all in glory. And he'll stand before the Father one day and say, I and all the children that thou hast given me. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm comforted by that truth, and it helps me to deal with the problems and the sadness of the mornings of this life. And even when I'm sitting there and hearing a man preach the funeral of my daddy's service, and I love my daddy very much, I have very much respect for him, but I know his soul and spirit's in glory wouldn't bring him back to this planet at all. And I hear the priest of the gospel that tells me one day I'll be with my daddy in glory, and I'll get to hug his neck, and we'll worship Jesus together. Are you looking forward to that? Not only that, all the troubles that we go through in this life. I mean, there's pains that you go through in this life. It's just hard to bear the burdens of this world. I've talked to children of God, they go through so many trouble, they couldn't even find the words to speak. But you know, the Holy Spirit helps us in our times of infirmity. And we can come to the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus has always got the right answers. If you had someone that was troubling you and you wanted to give them help, you know who's got the right answers? Jesus has got the right answers. He's got the right answer every time. And Mary here, she comes to his feet, falls down at his feet in time of mourning, and Jesus comforted her. You know what Jesus gave her this day? He gave her just a little bit of taste of what it's going to be on the last day. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and don't you know Mary and Lazarus, after they got those stinking clothes off of him, they hugged necks. You know, those clothes there, that wrapping that Lazarus had on him, they stunk. But you know, Lazarus didn't even know they stunk until Jesus raised him from the dead. You know, that's the way it is with us as children of God. We don't know how bad we stink in sin until Jesus gives us life, right? If you feel to be a stinking in sin, the reason you feel to be that way is Jesus has already given you life. John chapter 12, we find Mary again, the third time, and she's at the feet of Jesus. And this time, she's not learning. She's not really mourning. She's worshiping Jesus. You know, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, he came to Bethany. Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14 teaches us 2 days before that is when this event took place. And it was Martha there in her house. They made a supper, and the Bible says that Lazarus was there in verse 2. And notice it was Mary. She came and come to the feet of Jesus and took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here's Mary at Jesus' feet, worshiping his feet. worshiping the Lord. And she took this pound of spikenard. It's very costly. You know, there's a great lesson in that. It costs us something to worship the Lord. If you're going to put God first in your life, and you're going to worship Him, and you're going to serve Him the way we should, it's going to cost you something. You have to give up something to worship the Lord. Yeah, I had someone tell me once, I was talking about Moses in the Old Testament, and how I believe Moses' soul and spirit's in heaven, but Moses didn't get to enter in the land of Canaan. And that person told me, they said, you know, Brother Ronnie, you believe that the child of God's got to work harder to get into church than do into heaven. I said, amen to that. I said, I think our heavenly home, I didn't work nothing. It was Jesus that did all the work. But as a child of God here in this world, I need to do some work to serve God as I should. Amen to that. Amen to that. And this costs, it costs if you're going to work to serve the Lord. It costs you something to give up things in this world to put God first in your life, to be at the house of God and to serve Him. And Mary, see, she was willing to give it up. It costed her. She gave it up. This pound of spikenard, very costly. You know, it's Judas that stirred up the crowd, said this should have been sold and given to the poor. Others said, yeah, why wouldn't it sold and given to the poor? I want to tell you something. You're going to serve God right. You're going to try to do right. You're going to have opposition too. Serving God and worshiping Him, you're going to have opposition. Judas stirred up the opposition. I mean, don't think if you put God first in your life, everything's going to be peace and happiness. You know, someone would say, I tell you what, I believe I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the church. Everything's going to go good. Smooth sailing here on out. No, you just made the devil mad. Judas here, he spoke up. Why wasn't this sold? You know what Jesus said? He said, the poor you have with you always. Me you have not with you always. He defended Mary. Mary sees the poor. She could have done for the poor anytime, but she had this opportunity to do for the Lord. She took advantage of that. Notice also when she done this, man, the whole house was filled with odor. Everybody in the house knew what was going on. They could smell it. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when we worship God, we put Him first in our life, you don't have to tell people. They can tell it. Do you know a man of God, if he's studying the Word of God to preach to God's people, he don't have to get up and pulpit and brag, hey, I did all this time studying the Word of God. No, you can tell it. Paul said that man of God that studies the Word of God, his profiting would appear to all. You can tell it. And I want to tell you, dear child of God, if you're reading the Word of God, you don't have to go around telling people you're reading the Word of God. You can tell it. A pastor can tell it. Everybody can tell it. I'm going to tell you, if you're a person that's at the house of God and serving God as you should and putting God first in your life, you don't have to go around bragging about it. Everybody can tell it. That odor will fill the house. My dad used to say this. A man came to him one time and said, Marvin, are you saved? He said, if you can't tell by looking at me, I'll never convince you by telling you. People can see it in your life, and that odor just filled the entire room. I tell you, something else is involved in this. When Mary's at His feet worshiping Him, if you'll go to Mark chapter 14, I think it's in verse 8, Jesus said this about Mary. He said, she hath done what she could. Mary did not try to take the office of an apostle. She did not try to take the office of a preacher. She did not try to be something she was not. But she did what she could. You know what Brother Ronnie should be doing in the kingdom of God, worshiping the Lord? I should be doing what I can. You know what all these deacon brothers should be doing in the house of God? They've already said it this morning. Brother John said it in his when he accepted that role as church clerk. Doing what he can, what the church needs. You know what the sisters of the church should be doing in the kingdom of God? Just doing what you can. You know, if it's just sitting on the pew and hearing the Word of God and living an example, you know, you can be a great teacher by the example you give to others. Mothers in the kingdom of God, you can teach a multitude in just the example that you give. And I've said this many times, a wonderful example of a mother will go way much further than sermons from the pulpit. Children in the kingdom of God, little children in the church, do what you can. You know, when we're all doing what we can, you know what happens? Jesus is worshiped. He's raised and lifted up. And we all have peace with one another. May we take this as a lesson for us, the feet of Jesus. We can go to Him and be at His feet to learn. We can be at His feet to be comforted. And we can be at His feet to worship Him. And when we're at His feet worshiping Him, let us just do what we can that He would be glorified in this perverse and crooked world that we live in. May God richly bless you is our prayer. I want to publish open the door of the church here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church. Anybody like to come?